Our gospel lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. Listen now to the word of our Lord. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. In the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, first of all, I'd like to start this morning by wishing everyone a very happy New Year. And I can't think of a better way to start this New Year than gathering with other believers and worshiping God together. Well, most of us try to go into the new year with a positive attitude, and sometimes it helps if we get a little encouragement, maybe a pep talk to get us into the right mindset. If so, we are in luck. There is a kindergarten class in California that runs their own free hotline, which they call Pep Talk, and it's spelled P-E-P-T-O-C. The number, in case you're interested, is 707-873-7862. And I can give that to you later if you want it. It's a great way to get inspired by the enthusiasm of children. The teachers who created Pep Talk said they were inspired to do so after witnessing how their young students kept this positive attitude in the face of hard times. After all, over the past couple of years, these kids have gone through the COVID-19 pandemic, California wildfires, changes, of course, in their families' circumstances. And yet they remained hopeful, positive, and energetic. And the teachers thought more people need to learn from these kids. So that's how Pep Talk was created. Now, I never thought of it. I should get my phone and call it. But if you call Pep Talk, you will hear the following options. If you're feeling mad, frustrated, or nervous, press 1. If you need words of encouragement and life advice, press 2. If you need a pep talk from the kindergartners, press 3. And then if you press option 3, you will be connected to recordings of these positive, encouraging messages recorded by the kindergartners themselves. And some examples of their pep talks are, "Bro, you look great." Or, I like this one, "If you are nervous, go get your wallet and spend it on ice cream and shoes. You'll feel better." If you need to hear kids laughing with delight, then you are to press 4. For encouragement in Spanish, press 5. Within days of launching this hotline, these kids were receiving hundreds of calls per day. I think it's a great idea to start the new year with advice from children because they often see things, I think, with fresh eyes. So what about you? I hope that this new year brings you joy, love, hope, peace. But none of us, of course, can predict the events this year will hold for us. When we look back at this past year, some of us experience unexpected joys. Some of us experience unexpected challenges and heartbreaks. And I think because of these, we are not the same people we were 365 days ago. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit in March of 2020, it seemed like the whole world just shut down and basically just about did. All the airlines all over the world grounded their flights. It was scary. No one knew how bad the pandemic would get and when it would actually get over. On March 23rd, 2020, First Officer Chris Dennis, a pilot for Delta Airlines, was told to park his airplane in the Delta storage lot at a remote airport facility out in the California desert. No one knew when they would be flying again. Before he completed his duties on the plane, First Officer Dennis wrote a note of hope for whoever found this plane in the future. It read like this. Hey, pilots, it's March 23rd. We just arrived from Minneapolis, St. Paul. Very chilling to see so much of our fleet here in the desert. If you are here to pick this plane up, then the light must be at the end of the tunnel. Amazing how fast it changed. Have a safe flight bringing it out of storage. This pilot couldn't have known. No one, of course, could have known that the COVID-19 virus would spread around the world and kill more than 6 million people. He couldn't have known when or if he would ever fly again. But he trusted that the pandemic would end and that he and his fellow pilots would fly again. So he left this note to encourage whoever had the job of bringing his plane out of storage. Well, thankfully, finally things did get better. On June 21st, 2021, 435 days since First Officer Dennis stored ship 3009 out there in the desert, First Officer Nick Perez was assigned the job of bringing that jet out of storage. As he went through his pre-flight checklist, his mechanic suggested that he check the tray table on the flight deck. And that's where First Officer Perez found the letter left behind by First Officer Dennis. And looking back at that moment, Perez said this. He said, I kept thinking about my mindset now compared to his when he left this note. Back then, we were getting good at landing empty planes. Now we're going in the right direction. I'm in good spirits. I'm very optimistic. Now that brings me to our Bible story for today. It opens just after the Magi from the east have come to worship the child Jesus. After the Magi left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Go, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And the scriptures say that Joseph planned that escape immediately. I think that's a key word. Immediately. Tragically, when Herod realized that the Magi were not going to lead him to Jesus, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. Can you imagine a world where a powerful king can do something so evil just to hang on to his power? I think the first thing we notice from the story is that because of his journey in human flesh, God understands that our lives are sometimes affected by circumstances beyond our control. Disasters, tragedies, injustices, none of us are immune to them, are we? There are frightening circumstances beyond our control. There are powerful forces that shape our society, our world, that are beyond our control. And how we view this truth, how we let it shape our lives, is the only thing that we do have under our control. The only thing. Rebecca Stott is the author of the book, The Days of Rain, which tells the true story of her upbringing in a group called the Exclusive Brethren. Maybe some of you have read the book. It's a doomsday cult whose leaders believe that the world was run by Satan. And as a result, they cut off all contact with the outside world. No one in the Exclusive Brethren was allowed to read newspapers or to own radios, televisions, none of that stuff. Stott says this, that one of the key lessons she learned from growing up in that cult was that she became an expert at being afraid. She became an expert at being afraid. I think, sadly, that's how many of us respond to a world of tragedy. We become experts at being afraid. And fear then turns to anger or giving up, or withdrawing completely from the world. And all three responses, you see, keep us from seeing how God is working out God's plan for creation. And that is God's plan to redeem all things through Jesus Christ and establish the kingdom of God here on earth. And that's tragic. It's tragic because even though today's Bible story is a sad commentary on human nature, it is also full of hope. It is. That brings me to the second thing we notice in this story. It's that God is always working out God's plans and promises, even in the worst of circumstances. Excuse me, let me tell you about a woman by the name of Elizabeth, who struggled for a very long time with drug addiction. And when she recovered, she wanted to help others who had made the same mistakes that she had made. So she started writing anonymous notes of encouragement and tucking them under car windshield wipers and sticking them up on utility poles out in the park. One of her notes concluded with these words, "Much love, hope sent." Much love, hope sent. Isn't that exactly what God says to us? Much love, hope set. Can you think of a time when you needed a message of hope? Notice that three times in these verses, Matthew writes some variation of, "And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet." And then he names the prophet. The Holy Family's escape to Egypt was prophesied by Hosea more than 750 years earlier. The tragedy of Herod ordering the death of children was prophesied by Jeremiah more than 600 years earlier. And numerous prophets declared that the Messiah would come from a humble, lowly place like Nazareth. Every time that Matthew points to a prophecy, he is saying, remember, God is always faithful to fulfill God's promises. Always. Always, not one of God's promises will fail. In tragedies, injustices, and circumstances beyond our control, we can find hope in this. God is always working out of God's plans and promises for humanity. It brings me to my final insight from today's Bible story. We can move forward in faith and confidence, no matter how difficult our circumstances look, because God is with us. Emmanuel, what did we just celebrate? God is with us. Notice how Joseph responded each time an angel of the Lord came to him. He obeyed immediately, and it wasn't easy. Even when he was afraid, even when God's plans didn't seem to make sense at all, he still obeyed God immediately. He acted in faith, no matter how difficult his circumstances appeared. That says to me that you and I can move forward really in that same spirit of faith and confidence when we know that God is with us. In November 2019, a woman by the name of Beth Pottle signed up to run a very difficult multi-day relay race out in the California desert. Beth was 58 years old at the time. She had just started running maybe a few years earlier. All her teammates, of course, on this relay race were much younger and were much more experienced runners. Beth was pretty nervous about completing that race and afraid that she might fail her team. One neighbor who saw Beth training in North Carolina, in the North Carolina heat, offered to add her name to the text prayer chain so other women in their small town could pray for her race. Well, on race day, as Beth and her team gathered near the starting line, Beth's phone suddenly pinged. Her teammates just kind of stared at her. They were in a remote desert region that there was no cell phone service in. Well, that ping was a text from that a neighborhood prayer chain back in North Carolina. So Beth read it aloud to her team. It was Isaiah 41:10, a promise from God to the nation of Israel. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Well, the runners ran up and down the steep mountain slope. Some of the running even took place at night. After the first night's run, Beth was so exhausted that she began to walk the trail rather than run. And then she heard that verse from Isaiah 41 in her head, and she picked up her feet and she ran again. God was with her. All she had to do was keep moving forward. Beth and her teammates successfully finished the race, and as they headed back to San Diego from the desert, all their phones began pinging constantly with messages of support from their family and their friends back home. But only one message had gotten through when they were out there in the desert. The message reminding them of the promise of God's love and presence. I don't know what this New Year's holds for any of you. Don't expect that pep talks will work in our most difficult circumstances. But I do know that God's plans and promises never fail. But there's hope. And because of that, I know that we can move forward in faith, no matter what this next year holds for any of us. I pray that you'll take these truths of God's love and God's a hope to your heart and let it shape your attitude and your faith as you begin this new year, 2023. Amen.